So as was announced, we have a visiting speaker, Brother Amin Sekli. Again, the talk is God's New World. Who will qualify to enter? Brother Sekli, please.
When you speak with coworkers or friends at school or various ones, or when you turn on your televisions to watch the news, wouldn't you agree, friends, that throughout the world, people live in anguish and in fear as to what is to come tomorrow? A climate of fear envelopes mankind. It is an invisible but discernible mood in the atmosphere that affects nearly everyone, though it's not often it goes unnoticed. Of course, there are numerous causes of fear, and here are just a few to mention. According to the World Health Organization report, worldwide 1.6 million people die as a result of violence each and every year. In Africa, out of every 100,000 people each year, an estimated 60.9 die of a violent death. As we could see in this picture, friends, it just really envelopes the story. If you even turn on your news reports, you could even imagine seeing this one. But think about even a local story a couple of years ago. A 65-year-old retiree in Canada was out for his early morning's bike ride. And as he pedaled along, he was hit from behind by a driver who left him dead. His bike was dragged for more than about 700 meters down the road. Now, at first, it was thought that this was just an incident and an accident, a hit and run. But further investigation indicated that he had been a victim by a hit of a stolen car. And this individual that had stolen this car was out for a joyride. Apparently, hitting the cyclist was part of the thrill. So some in the audience, you may even remember in April 1999 in Colorado, where two students went in and killed 12 students and a teacher before killing themselves in a school shooting. But that was in 1999. You would think, then how is it today? It must have gotten better, right? Well, according to a study in 2021, there are more school shootings in the US every year in that year than ever before. So we can see that that it is continually getting worse. And just even a few, a little while ago in Ottawa, an Ottawa high school was put on high alert and police presence was there as they were made aware of a threat and an investigation was necessary. And then as well, we can see there are various forms of sexual assault. For millions of women, whistles, obscene gestures, and lustful stares are a daily nightmare. Even one study in Japan shows that one Japanese woman, one out of four, have been sexually assaulted in public. Now, what about at home? This should be a safe haven. Well, domestic violence is also something. And Statistics Canada report in 2019, there were 107,810 people aged 15 and over who experienced intimate partner violence. And 79% of those people were women. Now, when I first gave this talk a couple of years back, one of the fears that it said was fear of a pandemic. Well, I should update that to fear of another pandemic, doesn't it? Yes, crimes and stats like these are almost appalling in nature, no doubt. And today it is no different. We can turn on our local news and hear about terrorist plots, threats, or violence, virus epidemics, and wars around the world. And due to these problems throughout the world, people live in this anguish and fear. Thank you, brothers, for those pictures. Despite talk and concern by many, overwhelming world problems continue. Now, can we expect humans to fashion a new world? A human government that can solve these issues? Well, we've seen human governments rule for thousands of years. And throughout, there have been some changes, but the ability to resolve the world's major problems has continually been able to and eludes these world leaders. Let's just note some forms of government that we've seen throughout history. Anarchies who promise unlimited absolute freedom. Monarchies promise stability and unity under the rule of one single proxy. Democracies promise that all people may decide for the benefit of all. We see communist governments promise to create a utopian classless society and citizens enjoying complete equality before the law. And there's many more that I could rhyme off. And yet, though all these forms of government may look good in theory, we can see that in true reality, these forms of governments have failed to provide what is the desired outcome. So peace and security, good health, and perfection cannot be attained by imperfect human rule. So what hope does mankind have today? Well, please turn with me, friends, to our first scripture this morning. That's 2 Peter 3 and 13. So that's 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 13. Note what it says there. But there are a new heavens and a new earth that we are awaiting according to his promise. And in these, righteousness is to dwell. Jehovah God has promised this new world, as we've just read. And as we've sung this morning, it is ruled by God's kingdom. And this kingdom is to be set up and let God's will take place, as in heaven, also on earth. And what is that will? Well, it's to restore that human that wonderful relationship between God and humankind, which Adam had lost. God's kingdom will serve the purpose of the universal sovereign and establish a paradise on earth where good people can enjoy life forever. It will undo all the damage that we've seen through the original sin and make God's loving purpose on earth a reality. In every aspect, God's kingdom is far superior to any human rule. And unlike any form of human governments that were mentioned in our introduction, God's kingdom is not just a theory, but in reality is something that we can trust and rely upon. However, how does Jehovah help us to provide what is necessary to inspire trust in this kingdom? We can continue as promises, but has he shown any way that we could trust this? Well, he's done so in three ways, if you're making notes. Well, first of all, he has demonstrated his grand qualities in dealing with mankind. We've seen his grand qualities, for example, when he's used his vigorous and destructive powers by causing a deluge in Noah's day to clean the earth of all the badness at that time. He has shown his perfect justice by providing his son as a ransom. He has shown us his great wisdom time and again. And unlike world rulers today that may say that they care for people, Jehovah truly and utterly loves all humans worldwide and invites all of his servants to become his servants today. The second way that Jehovah has provided what is necessary to inspire trust in his kingdom is he has clearly made known the principles in which his government has founded through his word, the Bible. These laws and principles, as we can see, are governing the kingdom and do not unfairly restrict us, but benefit us all. Many people are already benefiting from living by Jehovah's righteous standards. For example, by avoiding drunkenness, sexual immorality, tobacco, and addictive drugs, we are safeguarded. We have safeguarded our health. And a third way that Jehovah has provided what is necessary to trust his kingdom is by allowing us to have unmistakable identification of the King, the Messiah. So just as an ambassador that is expected to show some credentials when by his appointment to another government when presenting himself, Jehovah has recorded well in advance the requirements that the Messiah must have. These the requirements that the credentials would have to match were set out in Bible prophecies written centuries before his arrival. They foretold in minute detail the manner in the Messiah's coming, the nature of his ministry, his suffering at the hands of others, and the type of death that he would experience. It's interesting to note, friends, though, that those reliable prophecies also foretold his resurrection, his exaltation at the right hand of God, and finally the blessings his kingdom rule would bring. And in this way, Bible prophecies provide a unique pattern that might be likened to a fingerprint that can identify only just one person. And in, of course, this case is Christ Jesus. In fact, Christ provided a living preview of what will he accomplish as king of the kingdom. As we read accounts, he's fed hungry thousands, healed the sick, resurrected the dead, and even showed his power over natural elements by calming violent storms, and providing further evidence that he is the Messiah, the King of God's kingdom. So now that we know we can trust in God's kingdom, it's essential then that we demonstrate our trust in Jehovah and follow his guidance. Turn with me, friends, to Proverbs chapter 3 and verses 5 and 6. And there we read, "Trust in Jehovah with all your heart and do not rely on your own understanding. In all your ways, take notice of him, and he will make your path straight." As the scripture points out then, friends, if we listen to Jehovah, he will make our path straight. Not a windy road, not detours or dead ends, but continually helping us, leading us to God's new world. In addition to providing what is necessary to inspire trust in his kingdom, his appointed king, Christ Jesus himself, also plays a major role in making a better world. How so? Well, note just a few. His death eliminated a great obstacle for entering into the new world, making it possible to remove inherited sin and gain this eternal life. In John 3:16, Jesus stated, "For God loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son, so that everyone exercising faith in him might not be destroyed, but have everlasting life." So in giving up his only begotten Son, then, Jehovah has given us this opportunity to exercise faith in him and enjoy this everlasting life. And not just everlasting life in a cruel world that we see today, but everlasting life in a beautiful new world. Second, since 1914, Christ has been ruling as a heavenly king and will lead the way for his kingdom to destroy all human governments. And it will remove everything that would interfere with peace for those who survive the world's end. Well, how do we know this? Well, it's clearly stated in the scriptures. Can we turn to Daniel 2 and 44 and notice what it says there? So that's Daniel 2 and 44. It says, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. And this kingdom will not be passed on to any other people. It will crush and put an end to all human, all these kingdoms, and it alone will stand forever." So this is not just mere fantasy. This is clearly stated for us, God's kingdom will be ruled by Jesus and will destroy all other kingdoms and stand to time indefinite. So now knowing the benefits and wonderful promises that God's kingdom will fulfill, would you like to live under such rulership? Oh, I'm sure you would. And now we may ask, how do I qualify to enter into this kingdom? Let's look into the standards that Jehovah himself has set in order for us to live and to qualify. These principles can be likened when somebody wants to gain citizenship under a particular government or country, and they must fulfill those certain standards. This is the same if we want to qualify for God's new world. And how does Jehovah communicate these standards? It's clearly stated in his Bible, eh? Please turn with me, friends, to Micah 4 and 3 to learn about one standard that Jehovah has set. So that's Micah chapter 4 and verse 3. There it states, "He will render judgment among many peoples and set matters straight respecting mighty nations far away. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning shears. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, nor will they learn war anymore." So it's clear then, as we read in the scripture, that not only peaceable people will be living in God's new world. Moral cleanness and respect for marital arrangement is also something we do not see much in today's world. But these qualities are essential for life in the new world. And this new world will have a human society permeated with love. And we can remember that John chapter 13 and 35, where it states that all will know that you are my disciples if you have love amongst yourselves. So there will be no place in God's new world for ungodly, selfish, or materialistic people. Now, after reading and understanding the qualifications that God has set out for his people to enter into this new world, some may say that this is impossible, that nobody could live up to these standards or these requirements. Is that true? Is there a group of people trying their best to follow God's standards and displaying them? Well, today, who are glorifying God by maintaining his fine conduct? Well, what religious group have many governments praised for being peaceful, law-abiding citizens who pay their taxes? What people are known the world over for their unity for fellow believers, a unity that rises above racial, national, and ethnic differences? Well, there is only one group whose reputation of fine conduct in these and other areas speak for themselves. That's Jehovah's Witnesses. Impressive evidence shows that Witnesses have made real progress in developing what is called the new personality. Please turn to Colossians 3, and we'll read verses 8 to 10 to learn exactly about that. So that's Colossians 3. And that's 8 through 10. And notice it says, "But now you must put them all away from you: wrath, anger, badness, abusive speech, and obscene talk out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Strip off this old personality with its practices and clothe yourselves with the new personality, which through accurate knowledge is being made new according to the image of the one who created it." So this scripture highlights the results of this new personality. There is no wrath, anger, badness, abusive speech, and obscene talk, which is something that we see rarely in this world today, isn't it? However, we can't not just put on this new personality like wearing a new set of clothes. We need to rely on Jehovah and to learn more about him and through his word, the Bible. Note an experience of a young man named Noé. From a very young age, he was prone to anger and violence. And when he began to study the Bible at the age of 14, his temperament began to improve, for which his parents, who were not interested in the Bible at that time, felt very grateful. Now, as Noé progressed spiritually, he wanted to use his life more fully in God's service. Noé recalls, "I have never felt alone, as Jehovah has always been very close to me. Also, I've had the support of many loving brothers and sisters who have become my spiritual fathers, mothers, and brothers." Noé now serves at Bethel and uses his time in God's service. So Noé and other Jehovah's Witnesses have already adopted standards of conduct that will prevail in the new world. Another thing that Jehovah's Witnesses are known for worldwide is their preaching work. And this is now being done to help others to have hope in God's new world. And notice, friends, what it states at Matthew 24 and 14 about this particular point. So that's Matthew 24 and verse 14. It states there, "And this good news of the kingdom will be preached in all the inhabited earth for a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come." So we can see that this preaching work is being done, and so that a witness to all nations is accomplished, giving the opportunity to everybody to understand those standards of Jehovah, to live in his new world. This means that it will give all people that chance to learn. However, where do Jehovah's Witnesses get this knowledge that they share with people and come into contact with them? Who has Jehovah God given authority to distribute the spiritual food? Well, it's none other than as the scriptures point out at Matthew 24, 45 to 47, as it describes this faithful and discreet slave, he being Jehovah appointing him over all his belongings. Yes, this faithful slave is the only channel in which Jehovah uses to provide the spiritual food. It was essential then that we conform to Bible standards and cooperate with faithful and the discreet slave and share in the kingdom preaching work. Friends, it's no doubt that we're living in the critical last days, and that they're nearing its end, and decisive action is needed on our part from each and every one of us. As we can see, please turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter 3, 9 and 14. That 2 Peter 3, chapter 9, states, "Jehovah is not slow concerning his promise, as some people consider slowness, but he is patient with you because he does not desire anyone to be destroyed, but desires all to attain to repentance." And then verse 14, where it states, "Therefore, beloved ones, since you are awaiting these things, do your utmost to be found finally by him spotless and unblemished and in peace." So we can see that Jehovah is patient, but it won't always be the case there. There is no time for indifference or indecision. Only those standing in approved condition before the Son of Man, Jesus, will have the prospect of surviving the world's end and surviving this system of things. How vital then that we use this remaining time to act now and to seek the approval of Jehovah God and his Son and King, Jesus Christ. So, friends, today we've learned that our problems have not and will not be solved by any form of human governments. We must therefore look to Jehovah for a better world. He has promised us a new world with a just and perfect kingdom that will restore paradise and extend earthwide. What a beautiful image that we get to see in our publications, one such as these, to help us visualize and not just think that this is a mere dream. We know that Jesus is King, that we can see just tranquility and peace in this new world. Wars will be the thing of the past. There will not be anything such as famine or sickness or violence. But who will benefit from this? And how long is this going to last? Is it just a mere few years? Well, let's go to our concluding scripture, and that's Psalms 37 and verse 29. Psalm 37, verse 29, probably one that we've been using in the ministry quite a bit in the last little bit. It states there, "The righteous will possess the earth, and they will live for a couple of days? No, they will live forever on it. So friends, yes, our only righteous, blameless people will reside in earth, and this perfect new world will last forever. Thank you, brothers, for the image. So then, friends, may we act now, and that we may be included among the great crowd of survivors and live under Jehovah's protective care in his new world.